A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 58th chapter, the 5th verse, the word of God for the people of God. Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast? Is this what you call a day acceptable to the Lord? May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. A while back, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal, an article that explored a growing trend in athletic apparel, a trend that reflects how people more and more are buying sports clothing without ever thinking of practicing the sport. The article notes how the U.S. athletic apparel market will increase by more than 50% to over $100 billion in retail by the year 2020. And that growth is driven in large part by consumers, as the article states, consumers snapping up stretchy tees and leggings that will never, ever see the fluorescent lights of a gym. For example, yoga sales apparel has increased by 45% in recent years, while actual participation in yoga has grown by less than 5%. And I don't mean to be picking on yoga. The same is true for new lines of men's hiking boots and preppy jogging pants. As one person said, when you put on your workout gear, you think, maybe I should consider working out today. But of course, the working out never happens. As the old saying goes, appearances can be deceiving, can they not? We can project the image of being committed to things that we never really intend to pursue. It happens all the time. It happens with respect to everything. It happens even with respect to our faith. But of course, God always sees through our pious pretentiousness, and God will always find a way to call us to accounts for it. Now, that was the message that the prophet Isaiah delivered to God's people in his day. Isaiah ministered in the midst of a time when people were deeply uncertain about the future. The experience of exile had been hard on the nation. The Babylonians had taken away the best and the brightest from Jerusalem. But now, at this point in Isaiah's ministry, some of those exiles, the best and the brightest, they are returning. And there is this glimmer of hope among God's people that the stabilizing structures that surrounded the Jerusalem temple might be resumed. But all of that hope depended on the people's willingness to be serious about their faith. So serious that they would do more than go through the mere motions of attending to God. Their future hinged entirely on their readiness to turn from their pride and their arrogance so that they might humble themselves before their Creator and their Redeemer, whose will was for everyone to know fullness of life. Our text for this evening focuses on fasting, which sounds so out of touch with where people are today amidst a landscape dotted by golden arches and a pizza place on every corner. Who thinks about fasting today? Well, there are some. There are pockets of people who engage in periodic fast as a diet discipline or a therapeutic practice. But the goal of such fasting today has little to do with one's relationship with God, at least not like it did in the ancient times. In Isaiah's day, fasting was something that people did to get closer to God. Fasting was a way for people in Isaiah's day to get God's attention. But sadly, in Isaiah's day, the practice of fasting had devolved into something that was self-centered, not God-centered. Something that people might do to force God's hand to accomplish their agenda instead of bending their hearts to God's will so that God's purposes might come to pass. And that is why God's word through Isaiah to the people is so harsh. Did you hear it? Is this what you call a fast? Is this what you think is a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this what I expect my people to do? Do I expect my people to act one way, but then to show their lack of faith in a completely different fashion? It's easy for us in the 21st century to look down our noses at people who lived and practiced their religion thousands of years ago. But what we gather to understand tonight is that hypocrisy has no shelf life. It's a tendency that people will always have to face and to fight, substituting the forms of religion for its substance. We gather tonight to recognize that every act of devotion can too easily become a means of self-deception, particularly when we come to rely on the acts at the expense of doing the things that God has called us to do. Tonight is Ash Wednesday. It is the beginning of the season of Lent. This is a time when we commit ourselves to the hard work of looking honestly at our hearts, humbling ourselves before God so that God's grace in Jesus Christ might atone for the sin that is keeping us from experiencing the fullness of life God has created us to know. In his book, Whistling in the Dark, it's a great title, is it not? Frederick Buechner talks about the season of Lent by saying that during this time of the year, Christians like you and me are supposed to be asking ourselves the question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian? And in that book, Buechner poses a set of questions to illustrate what self-examination is supposed to look like. One of the questions in the book that I find most searing is this question. When you look at your face in the mirror, what do you see in it that you most like? And what do you see in it that you most deplore? When you look at the face that's staring at you in the mirror, what do you see in the mirror that you most like? And what do you see in the mirror that you most deplore? And of course, the answer to that question should lead us to a place where we celebrate how God's grace is abounding in our lives. And at the same time, that question is to humble us that we might receive even more grace for the places that we cannot abide. In just a moment, you'll be invited to focus on that latter place, the place in your heart that you deplore. Specifically, you're going to be invited to jot down a place in your life that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt is not what God intends for that place to be. And then you'll be invited to step forward and to place what you have written down into a bowl as a witness to how serious you are for God to rid you of that place in your heart, that deplorable place, as only God can do. For many of you here this evening, this will be your first opportunity to go through this powerful ritual. But for those of us who have done it now for several years, I have a fear that tonight we'll be tempted to go through the motions, to come down, to put our pieces of paper into the bowl, but not really putting our hearts onto the paper. My fear is that we will be writing something down that we really do not mean. Some years ago, there was a man in a crowded parking lot. He was seen putting a note under the windshield wiper of a parked car, a car that had this humongous dent in its rear bumper. The note read, "I have just smashed into your car. The people who saw the accident, they are watching me. They think that I am writing down my name and my address, but I am not." In a moment, you'll get up in front of God and everybody, and you'll march down to the front of this sanctuary where you will put into this bowl something that you have written down. But whether you mean what you have written, the rest of us will never know. But brothers and sisters, rest assured, God will know. God will know. And if tonight enough of us are serious about what we write down, serious about what this night represents, then what we have written down and what this night represents will make this day a day that is truly and fully acceptable to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.